for my buddy, Kindred. Aptly named, always there. In the next life, I'll do email and I'll be able to dunk. Bob Cousy, Boston Celtics, 1950 to 1963. Preface, April 9, 1957. Study the portrait closely. You can find the photo in the PDF that comes with this program. It captures the moment the greatest American professional sports dynasty of the 20th century took flight. The dynasty was born of a merger of two men more alike than they ever understood. Both outsiders, they were self-analytical and murderously competitive. They moved through separate worlds off the court, but on the creaky parquet floor of the Boston Garden, they were interlocking pieces. They blended passing and shot blocking, dribbling and rebounding, offense and defense. They were white and black. They were Cousy and Russ. At the moment the camera flashed, Bob Cousy was 28, Bill Russell 23. Cousy, the captain, had been with the Boston Celtics for 7 seasons. Russell, the rookie, whose arrival was delayed by his participation in the Melbourne Olympics for about 100 days. They played in a time when sports writers still created nicknames for star athletes, as if they were comic book superheroes. As Babe Ruth once was the Sultan of SWAT, and Joe Louis the Brown Bomber, Cousy was the Houdini of the hardwood. Russell would become the winningest player in National Basketball Association history, but he escaped without a nickname. He was just Russ. Richard Meek was the photographer. He shot 45 covers for Sports Illustrated and Life. His camera caught Ali, Nixon, Betty Davis, Arthur Ashe, James Cagney. In the tunnel outside the locker room at the Boston Garden, before Game 5 of the 1957 NBA Finals between the Celtics and the St. Louis Hawks, Meek used 2 portrait lights. As Cousy and Russell stood in front of a cinder block wall, the brilliant lights gave their eyes a celestial spark. In 1928, the arena's creator, boxing promoter Tex Rickard, settled for the industrial ambiance of a cramped working man's arena perched above the cacophony of North Station across Causeway Street. More than once, Cousy declared that the garden's rats were bigger than the customers. The photographer may have reached for symbolism in his positioning of the Celtics. Cousy up front, bathed in satiny warmth, and Russell in the back, partially concealed in its shadow. Certainly that was how white sports writers at the Boston Dailies, and they were all white, represented the two players in the sports pages, as if to say, this is Cousy's team and Cousy's town. Still, Meek's photograph suggested another truth. Even as Cousy won the league's Most Valuable Player Award in 1957, the rookie Russell loomed. Already he had begun to take over. They posed for Meek minutes before tip-off. Their minds were elsewhere, on the battle against the Hawks' Bob Pettit, the bombardier from Baton Rouge. Their expressions are taut, severe. They might have been Civil War soldiers standing for Matthew Brady. The rookie Russell offers a hint of the menacing glower that years later he would describe as a big batch of smoldering Black Panther, a touch of Lord High Executioner and Angry Cyclops mixed together was just a dash of the old Sonny Liston. On first glance, Cousy seems made of porcelain, smooth and soft, but his eyes are fixed in a hard stare. A Boston sports writer, Bill McSweeney, had seen those faces before big games. He had entered the Celtics locker room worried and left reassured by the sight of Cousy alongside Russell. The Celtics coach, Red Auerbach, didn't much worry. He once broke an uncommon tension in the locker room by barking out, hey, if you guys are worrying about playing them, how do you think they must feel having to play us? The Celtics laughed.